With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Luis García, and you're listening to La Liga Lowdown.
Hi, I'm Pablo Machin. This is La Liga Lowdown.
Hi, I'm Carlos Soler, and this is La Liga Lowdown.
And I'm David Garrido. Welcome along to our La Liga Lowdown Match Day 7 mini-pod with Rede Sakhanov and broadcast on SiriusXM FC 157 on a weekend when none of the top three won, but the chasing pack made up ground. Here is what's coming up inside the next half an hour. The Madrid derby finishes honours even and goalless as the keepers take the credit, and how things have improved for Diego Simeone's side, according to Ewan.
As for Atletico, they'll be rubbing their hands with glee. They were 7 points behind first place on September 15th. Now they're just two behind. It's still a three-team title race. That's why Simeone is a happy man.
That's because Barcelona failed to win for a third league match in a row. Roman watched Athletic Club deny Los Culés.
Barca right now are a tactical mess. I don't think players are fully aware of where or how they should be playing. And you can see that reflected on the way the team plays. In my opinion, Valverde has to take most of the blame.
Sevilla are now third, while Celta spurned the chance to go fourth. Alex saw them in action at Balaidos.
Come on, Celta. Again? That's the third consecutive draw for Los Celestes. And for his second home match in a row, they've lost the lead. That's 4 points drop.
And Alaves had been in good form too, but this time they lost at Levante. Here's Paco.
Alaves weren't as comfortable as in most of their games this year. Abelardo wasn't pleased after the final whistle. It's their second defeat this season in La Liga.
Plus, we've got fan voices represented, and we'll have your three-word verdicts on the weekend's action just gone. That's all on the way. So, the Madrid derby, Real Madrid versus Atletico at the Bernabeu. Bale, Griezmann, Asensio, Costa, Benzema, Saul, so much attacking talent, but it was two other men who stood up and stood out.
Lovely ball forward there, and Griezmann is onside here. It's a big, big save by Thibaut Courtois. First big chance of the derby fell to Griezmann, but Courtois was there to save Real Madrid. He's close. Oh, good ball, it's Asensio, it's a good save by Oblak, came out so quickly to close down the space for Asensio.
Yes, the marvellous aspect of the goalkeeping here that we've seen on show tonight.
Yes, those were the two most memorable saves of a 0-0 draw shown live on 11 Sports in the UK on Saturday night. A game dominated by Atletico in the first half, despite having only 37% possession before the break. And they even had half a penalty shout for handball on Casemiro. But then the home side switched, injured Gareth Bale for Dani Ceballos at the start of the second half, which brought greater vision and control for Madrid. The change to a 4-4-2 helped them win that midfield battle clearly, but Atleti dug in, they retreated to two compact banks of four. They weathered the storm. Jose Maria Jimenez was superb, courageous, and he is developing into a very, very good commanding defender. Don't let this scoreline fool you, though, because this wasn't a dull game at all. Plenty of tension, and both coaches went for it towards the end. Diego Simeone brought on Nikola Kalinic. Julian Lopetegui gave Vinicius Jr. his Real Madrid debut. The 18-year-old did admittedly look a little nervous warming up, as you might expect, and he barely had any time to make an impact. 3 minutes of normal time, plus three more of added time, but at least Madridistas have now had a glimpse of him in that first team. Vinicius, the first player born in the year 2000 to have ever played for Real Madrid, which is quite frankly frightening. Stats-wise, perhaps the most telling was that this was the first time since September 2011 that Madrid had failed to score in back-to-back La Liga games. Even so, Lopetegui was pleased with the side's attitude, the way they fought back into the game, and he praised Ceballos in particular for giving the team balance and for his personality, his character, his physical and technical ability. That is some praise. Expect him to feature more this season. It could be a pivotal one for the ex-Betis player. Simeone said that his team could be the best in Atletico's history. Well, they made history by making it 6 La Liga trips to the Bernabeu without defeat, equaling Valencia's record for the 1940s. However, Diego Costa hasn't now scored in his last 16 La Liga games. Our man in the Spanish capital is Ewan McTeer. Ewan, which of the two coaches do you think will be happier with the point? And how do you assess the direction that these two teams are heading in after 7 games of the current La Liga campaign?
Okay, David, I'll start by answering your question about which coach will be happier, because that's an easy one. It's Diego Simeone. It's a 6-year in a row undefeated at the Bernabeu for him, and I think he accepts that Atletico were holding on by their fingernails towards the end of this derby. In his post-match press conference, he said, "Given what I saw in the second half, I think a draw might be fair." Compare that analysis to that of Julian Lopetegui, who came out and said, "I am not satisfied by the result, because Real Madrid always want to win and I believe we deserve to." Upon reflection though, I'm sure Lopetegui will be happy to have gotten Real Madrid's campaign back on track after that horror show in Seville last Wednesday. Another loss would have been unthinkable, but they've been able to stabilise at a time when Barcelona are flailing. As for Atletico, they'll be rubbing their hands with glee. They were 7 points behind first place on September 15th, now they're just 2 behind. Barcelona and Real Madrid, the joint leaders, have averaged just 2 points per game so far, and that's certainly a rate Atletico can keep pace with. It's still a 3-team title race. That's why Simeone is a happy man.
Well, friend of the La Liga Lowdown mini-pod, Kian Sabani from Managing Madrid, was in town to see this game. Here are his post-match thoughts.
Well, it hurts. I mean, we had Sevilla and then Atletico at home, back-to-back. 2 games we historically struggle in. We still can't get the hang of it. However, you look at the flip side, Barcelona are dropping points, so it's going to be a tight race. The one consolation I have is that the points that Barcelona are dropping are points that they really should be getting. At least Real Madrid are dropping points away at the Pizjuan, at home against Atleti, away to San Mamés, which is a tough, you know, not ideal. Obviously, Lopetegui needs to win as many games as we can. But, you know, all things considered, on level terms with Barca, we have an easier schedule upcoming. Barcelona's schedule is ridiculous, so we have that going for us.
But this was our chosen match on Partidazo Predictions on our YouTube channel, so go to youtube.com/C/ La Liga Lowdown, or quite simply put La Liga Lowdown into your search engine. Now, I'm not gloating or anything, but I am the only one who said a draw, even though I went 1-1 instead of 0-0. So that is a single point to add to my meagre tally. No one else gets anything. Ha! Here are the overall standings then. Ewan has 8 points, Paco has 5, Roman has 5, Alex 4 points, and me 3. As for the table that really matters, the result leaves Atletico on 12 points in La Liga and Madrid on 14 from 7 games, which is the same as Barcelona, as they were denied victory once again, this time at home by Athletic Club, who had lost on their previous 14 visits to the Camp Nou. It was another interesting decision by Ernesto Valverde to leave Lionel Messi on the bench as well as Sergio Busquets, and they paid the price as Athletic took the lead before half-time. Oscar de Marcos, of all people, the man on the end of a curling cross from Markel Susaeta, and as a team, Athletic's insistent press made Barcelona wholly uncomfortable on their own turf, especially without their two metronomes, Messi and Busi. The difference once the Argentine came on was night and day. Then the chances came. Philippe Coutinho hit the bar, Messi himself firing against the post, and the pressure eventually told, the little magician providing an assist for Munir's equaliser as he stuck out a foot on 84 minutes. Relief. As always, Messi galvanises Barcelona, but it can't paper over the cracks forever. Gerard Piqué, Ivan Rakitic, Ousmane Dembélé were all below par. Rakitic himself tweeting afterwards, it's time to keep fighting, the results will come. La Liga Lowdown's Roman Derker watched this game, and this is his take on why it's suddenly gone a bit sour for Barca.
Barca right now are a tactical mess. I don't think players are fully aware of where or how they should be playing, and you can see that reflected on the way the team plays. This, of course, is also the case when Valverde makes changes in his starting 11. The newcomers, or even other players that have been in the squad longer, but don't usually start, are struggling to shine. And there's no doubt rotations are necessary. At the end of last season, you could tell that players like Messi, Suarez, Rakitic, etc. were very fatigued. So I don't think these changes are the problem. In my opinion, Valverde has to take most of the blame. Also, last season, Barca's style of play wasn't too attractive, but it was very effective, and they were solid at the back. So an evolution was expected this year, but we're seeing the opposite. Barca are finding it hard to create chances, and the defence is worse than ever.
Now, it wasn't so long ago that we were wondering what was going on at Sevilla. Just shows how quickly things can change. 10 days, 4 wins, and 17 goals scored later, they seem to have turned the corner in radical fashion under Pablo Machin. A goalless first half away at Eibar, but they scored within 90 seconds of the second 45 getting underway. A lovely give and go between Andre Silva and Jesus Navas. The Portuguese then back-heeling in past the Eibar keeper, Marko Dimitrovic. The second came from the penalty spot. After Cote had been adjudged to have handled the ball in the area, Ever Banega made no mistake and he put the seal on the win with an effort from distance just inside the near post, leaving Dimitrovic rooted to his spot. Joan Jordan scored a consolation for Eibar, beating Thomas Vacic at his near post from just outside the box. But there were 9 minutes of added time at Ipurua because a barrier between the away support and the pitch had collapsed after the second goal, with 14 people injured, 10 of whom were taken to a local hospital. After the game, Sevilla coach Pablo Machin dedicated the win to those who were injured. It's some turnaround from Sevilla, also because they've had injuries. Machin said they made a titanic effort and that they'll try to limit the fatigue factor, but now they will rack up those air miles as they head to Krasnodar for their second group game in the Europa League. For Eibar, José Luis Mendilibar said that his side have at least improved in their last few games, and they did control that first half on Saturday afternoon. The other significant result on Saturday was Valencia finally winning in La Liga at the seventh time of asking, 1-0 at Real Sociedad. It was a first goal for Kevin Gameiro for Los Che, the ball from Jefferson Dogbia to Dani Parejo as that axis was revived, the captain out wide to Denis Cheryshev, and his centre tapped in by the in-rushing Gameiro on 36 minutes. Real Sociedad's best chance of the game came from the penalty spot after Tony Lato had clattered into Rubén Pardo, but William José's effort was kept out by fellow Brazilian Neto with his feet as William José opted to go down the middle. Neto himself said afterwards it was as if a weight had been lifted off their shoulders, while Valencia's assistant coach Ruben Uria, doing the press duties in the absence of Marcelino, who was serving a touchline ban, said that the victory was deserved. And he also praised Carlos Soler for his performance, saying that he was growing and would become a great player. La Liga Lowdown's lady in the north of Spain is Alex Johnson. Alex, we know there were selection issues for Asier Garitano before this game. How much did that affect Real Sociedad? And how much of a relief was this result for Valencia?
So La Real were missing Juanmi and Teo to suspension, Januzaj and Llorente to injury, and things did not get better when both Merino and Saldao got injured during the first half. Garitano also did some other changes in his lineup, opting for Moya ahead of Rulli, who had quite a troubling start to the season, so there was not a lot of continuity for Real Sociedad at all, and you could see it. Not really any attackers to support William José, and he himself did also miss a penalty. Valencia, they were also missing someone, their coach Marcelino, who was suspended after the draw against Villarreal. Valencia had, ahead of this match, not yet won a single La Liga match this season, something that Marcelino commented on, saying, "Not to worry, we will win very soon," and they did. There was only 2 shots on goal from Valencia, but Kevin Gameiro put one of them in the net, and that's all you need. And it's definitely a huge relief for them. They were close last week against Celta, but now they finally have that win, and I'm sure a lot more will follow.
There'll be more from Alex later on in the show. We'll take a break right now, the other side of which we'll discuss the Sunday, Monday and Friday action in La Liga on Matchday 7. See you in a couple of ticks.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, Welcome back. You're listening to the La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Radio Stakhanov and broadcasts on SiriusXM FC 157. We're recapping match day 7 in La Liga, and having talked about Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico, Valencia and Sevilla, let's focus on Real Betis now. They are just 2 points off the top after a 1-0 victory at home to Leganés. You could barely get two more contrasting styles of play. Betis in a 3-5-2 looking to dominate possession, whereas Leganés came to the Benidorm and set out in a 5-4-1 determined to frustrate and defend and then hit on the break. Chances at a premium then until the 89th minute when Loney, Giovanni Lo Celso split the Lega defence for Cristian Teo to centre to the substitute Loren Moron, a tap-in to snatch all 3 points. Quique Setién, so wedded to his principles of taking care of the football, said that if plan A doesn't work, plan B is to make plan A work better, particularly against those sides that are tough to break down. For Mauricio Pellegrino, he bemoaned his side's inability to break out and counter-attack. It is a result which keeps Lega bottom of La Liga with 4 points from 7 games. Betis haven't lost since the opening day of the season when they went down 3-0 at home to Levante. Paco Lopez's side had to wait until match day 7 for their second victory of the campaign, and they had to fight for it too, coming back from a goal down to defeat Alaves 2-1 at the Estadio Ciudad de Valencia. Alaves have been one of the surprise packages in La Liga this season, and with Barcelona and Real Madrid drawing, well, their game at Levante represented a winnable opportunity to go level with those two at the top of the table. And early on, it looked like it might end up that way. Ibai Gomez has been scoring some spectacular goals of late, but this time he turned provider, a beautiful outside of the right boot cross for Rubén Sobrino to head home their opener after 5 minutes. But Levante were only behind for not even a quarter of an hour. Another Rubén, Rochina, flashed in a cross from the left and Jason connected with a bullet header at the near post. Nothing that Fernando Pacheco could do about that. And before halftime, Tonio rifled home a left foot shot past Pacheco for 2-1 after good work from José Luis Morales. Ibai Gomez struck the foot of the post after that, but Alaves couldn't find an equaliser, and so their unbeaten run comes to a halt at 5 games. Paco Bolit is our man in Valencia. So Paco, what exactly were Alaves lacking today? And how did Levante manage to turn this game around and win for the first time since the opening day?
Alaves weren't as comfortable as in most of their games this year, even though that early Sobrino header allowed them to be in control of the pace of the game. Abelardo wasn't pleased after the final whistle. It's their second defeat this season in La Liga. I guess Levante simply were much, much better than in the last few weeks. After their disappointing defeat at Nuevo José Zorrilla, where they saw Valladolid bouncing back from their opening goal, Levante took a page out of Valladolid's playbook and ran more, pressed harder, and eagerly sought the win. Paco López took a bold move and played with three at the back, and the team seemed to recover its mojo. Piršić was great, Campaña was masterful, and the 7 changes in the lineup sure had a revolutionary effect on the overall attitude of the team. The fans, especially, were very pleased with the outcome, finally enjoying a win at home after 4 months since the last one. You might remember it, the 5-4 against Barca at last season's matchday 37. This is Dean Burrier, a Levante fan who suffered and ultimately celebrated their much-needed win.
Today was a really important win for Levante to break the losing streak and get a win at home against a team that's been in the top five. And La Liga is a huge turning point for us. I also felt like the way we were able to add some mobility to our attack. Very excited to see Tonio back in the lineup and ecstatic that he was able to get a goal as well, because I think he's someone that has also been able to associate well with our outside mids and forwards and get involved in the attack, as was seen during the game, several dangerous crosses and obviously the goal. It's undeniable that we had a lot of chances. What we needed to do was finish off. The tendency was to feel that Levante should have put that away. Definitely happy with the result.
Well, another team who had a chance to get high up the table was Celta de Vigo. A win over Getafe in the Monday night game would have taken them up to fourth, but not to be, as they again couldn't hold on to a lead at home. Maxi Gomez scored again at the opener because of a long hopeful ball forward by Hugo Mayo, but David Soria came out to no man's land, didn't connect, and the Uruguayans backward header was enough to take the lead, but that was cancelled out by Jaime Mata, who is now a La Liga goal scorer, of course, scored for fun in Segunda last season. A well-worked move down the left, the ball pulled back for Mata, who spun on a sixpence and fired home. So 1-1 the final score, but in truth, Celta didn't really deserve much more because of their overall play and some of their tactics in this one, and they now have the worst defence in the top half of La Liga. Alex Johnson was at Balaidos, and she filed this report after full-time.
Come on, Celta, again? That's the third consecutive draw for Los Celestes, and for his second home match in a row, they've lost the lead. That's 4 points drop. Antonio Mohamed switched formation from three at the back versus Valencia on Thursday to go back to four. In midfield, Matías Jensen got his first start, and yes, it's against Valladolid, Maxi Gómez scored first, and that guy is on fire. He has now been directly involved in 7 Celta goals this season, scoring 4, assisting 3. Then Mohamed decided to take off 2 of his best performing players, Fran Beltran and Matías Jensen. For the Dane, he threw on a defender, Araujo, trying to defend the lead. We have all heard that story before. Off the bench for Getafe sprinted Jaime Mata to score his first ever La Liga goal. He got 35 in Segunda for Valladolid, so expect more to come from him. It's easy to say that this point probably means more to Getafe here, whereas Celta and Mohamed have a few things to think about.
We're going to dart back to Friday night now. The match day got off to an exciting start at the Campo de Fútbol de Vallecas as Rayo Vallecano drew 2-2 with Espanyol. The opening goal scored by Raúl de Tomás was a fantastic bit of skill. The first touch to control the ball into his path. His second, a rasping shot into the bottom left-hand corner past the outstretched hand of Diego López with 3 blue and white shirts descending upon him. The equaliser came 30 minutes later, though, from Borja Iglesias. Espanyol beating the offside trap. Mario Hermoso's original shot saved by Alberto García. And the man who moved to the Erce Stadium from Celta in the summer turned it home. And then in first half stoppage time, Sergio García's volley ricocheted to Esteban Granero, who just guided it home on the half volley. But Rayo picked up what could be a vital point after rampaging right back Luis Advíncula was brought down on the byline by Didac, and Gael Cucuta emphatically converted the resulting penalty. Espanyol could have had a similar incident to win the game when the referee pointed to the spot, thinking that substitute Oscar Melendo had been fouled inside the 18-yard area, but VAR corrected that call as the challenge had occurred outside the box. A free kick instead. Nothing came of it. So 2-2, the final score. To another of the promoted teams and to one of the surprise results over the weekend, as Real Valladolid went to Villarreal. Again, the home fans at the Estadio La Ceramica will want to forget. A 1-0 defeat for them. A relatively dull first 45 minutes, save for Gerard Moreno striking the post with a left-foot volley from close range. But then, 8 minutes into the second half, Leo Suarez scored the only goal of the game, a cross only partially cleared by Alvaro Gonzalez, and only as far as Suarez, who teed the ball up for himself on his chest and volleyed home left footed. Now, the player is on loan at Valladolid from Villarreal, but without the cláusula de miedo, or the fear clause, which most clubs implement, preventing that player from featuring against his parent club. Gerard had another opportunity to score after VAR awarded a penalty to the hosts for handball on Kiko Olivas, but John Masip made the save with his legs. Real Valladolid stayed in front. They even had a second goal ruled out for offside before full time. It is 7 points out of 9 for them, but Javi Calleja's side still haven't won at home this season in 5 attempts. 1 draw and 3 defeats in the league, another draw against Rangers in the Europa League. And don't expect that run to end anytime soon. Their next home game is after the next international break, and it's Atletico who are Villarreal's visitors. Calleja seemed confused. He said that Villarreal had been denied victory, but he couldn't explain how or why. But what he did say was that they couldn't be pessimistic and that the goals would come. And they need to, especially from their forwards. Gerard, Carlos Bacca and Carl Tokoekambe have contributed 3 goals between them. To a battle between this season's newbies and last season's La Liga first-timers, as Huesca hosted Girona. And one of the successes of last season for Girona was the former striker Christian Stuani, who scored 21 goals in the league in 2017-18. He's already got almost a third of the way towards that tally, with 6 goals in the first 7 games. Now, of course, it helps when you're your team's penalty taker, but he did earn his own opportunity, being hauled down by Juan Aguilera. The referee, Cordero Vega, thought that it was outside the area, but it was corrected by Mateo Laos inside the VAR booth, and Stuani scored the spot kick on 37 minutes with a low Panenka. Still, Huesca's deserved equaliser came on 72 minutes. Similar circumstances, really. A cross contested by Moy Gomez and Bernardo Espinosa, but the Colombian was penalised for the foul. Again, the ref thought it was outside the box. Again, it was corrected by VAR, so penalty given, and penalty scored by Gonzalo Melero. 1-1 it finished, and Huesca made a bit of history, therefore, scoring their first ever home goal in Spain's top division at Estadio El Alcoraz, and also their first home point and a bit of relief after 4 straight defeats, conceding 13 goals in the process. But Leo Franco isn't out of the woods just yet. Huesca remain in the bottom 3. Let's have a quick look at the table then. It's been 25 years since the leading team had so few points in La Liga after seven matches. That's 14 points. A nice congested look to the table. Barcelona top, Real Madrid joint top, 14 points from seven games. Then you've got Sevilla in third on 13 points from seven games. Then Atletico fourth, Real Betis fifth, both 12 points from seven games. At the bottom, again, it's nice and competitive. Leganés prop up the league, 4 points from seven games. Huesca second bottom, 5 points from seven games. And then come Rayo with five from six. And above those, a trio of teams on 7 points, Athletic Club, Levante and Eibar. Time for your three-word verdicts then. From the Madrid derby, Rich Cosmala has gone for Jimenez different gravy. Yeah, he's such a good young player, this one. Brian Miller says Sevilla on fire at 17 goals in four games. We suggest you're right on that, Brian. Our own Paco Bolit says, can Calleja survive? Yes, Javi Calleja, the Villarreal coach, is under pressure. Alex has gone for Celta draw again, three in a row, four in total. But actually, the draw specialists in the division have been Valencia with five so far. Now, before we go, don't forget that we've got plenty of places you can catch the rest of our content on other platforms. So, for example, social media. Our Twitter handle is at La Liga Lowdown. So make sure that you come find us, follow us, and chat to us on Twitter. Get to know us. Be part of our growing family. Our feed's being updated all the time with all members of the La Liga Lowdown squad involved. We've got lots of bits and pieces coming your way, especially this week because it's the second round of group games in the UEFA Champions League and the Europa League. And don't forget that two La Liga teams are in the UK. Valencia visit Manchester United at Old Trafford and Barcelona are at Wembley Stadium to take on Tottenham, and we'll be at both of those games, so plenty of content coming your way. Make sure that you check out our Twitter feed. We'll keep you fully updated. There's also our YouTube channel, so subscribe to that, enable those notifications so you don't miss out on any of our great content. youtube.com/c/La Liga Lowdown, or quite simply put La Liga Lowdown into your search engine. And there's our website, which houses all of our content in one place. And don't forget, we love having your backing for this podcast as we keep growing and racking up ever more listens. But a five-star rating really helps, so if you're happy to do so, we would be ever so grateful. You will earn it back in spades, we promise. That's your La Liga Lowdown. See you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.